Welcome to The Jump. I'm Malika Andrews. We are releasing parts of the NBA schedule today, and we have all hands on deck to help us cover it. And here's what we have going on. Christmas will be in August. Well, kind of. The schedule release is going to be in August, and we break down the star-studded slate of games. Knicks All-Star Julius Randle is stopping by, and we'll get his thoughts on New York's offseason moves so far. And Joel Embiid woke up with 196 million new reasons to smile. How should Philly build around him now? So, get your head out of the clouds, or don't if you're Jericho Sims. Whatever you do, keep it locked, because a full hour of The Jump starts right now. You're watching The Jump. I'm Malika Andrews in for Rachel Nichols this week. We have a packed show, so let's get right to it. Let's run it back with the reveal of the 2021 Christmas Day slate. At noon Eastern on ESPN, it's the Knicks and the Hawks in a rematch of that intense first-round playoff series. Will Trae Young put a bow on his bow? And then at 2:30 Eastern on ABC, the defending champion Bucks will host the Celtics. Jason Tatum and Giannis on the same court is going to be must-see TV. And then at 5 o'clock Eastern on ABC, it's the defending Western Conference champ Suns facing off against the Warriors. It could be an epic backcourt battle between the Splash Brothers on one side, lining up against Devin Booker and CP3. On ESPN and ABC at 8 Eastern, it's the Lakers and the Nets. KD, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook. Yeesh! Enough said. We're laughing in studio and wrapping it up on the night. On ESPN, it's Luka Doncic and the Mavericks on the road against Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz. It could be showtime from two of the league's top stars. And here are the opening night games that our broadcast partners over at TNT will carry. It's Nets-Bucks that opens the season, followed by the Warriors at the Lakers. More to come on those games a little bit later, but it is time to run it back. We're welcoming in Adrian Wojnarowski here to talk about the release of our schedule. He is our senior insider. Thanks so much for joining The Jump, Woj. We have to start with the Lakers and Nets on Christmas Day. What are your expectations for that game from a league perspective?
Malika, this is the battle of the Titans, and I think everybody's hoping that this is going to be a game that you're going to see both teams at full strength. And the idea of that kind of star power in one place and all the storylines within it. I think the Lakers in a Western Conference with no Kawhi Leonard and no Jamal Murray in Denver to certainly start the season and maybe for much of the season, the Lakers are certainly going to play the role as favorites. And this is a Nets team, that Milwaukee got past in the East last year, but without Kyrie Irving, with James Harden really on one leg in that series. And a chance now to see both these teams at full strength. It's going to be remarkable. And think of the Oklahoma City alumni group in that game. Harden and KD in Brooklyn. And, of course, now Russell Westbrook with the Lakers. That is a mammoth Christmas Day matchup.
Mammoth is right. And for the second time this week, also, Woj, you reported on a Patrick Beverley trade. This time he's headed from the Grizzlies to the Timberwolves. Can you give us a little insight into how that trade came about?
Well, Gerson Rosas, the president in Minnesota, and his new head coach, Chris Finch, they both were with Patrick Beverley in Houston. And the idea of bringing him in, to a roster that's still, fairly young and developing, bringing his leadership, his toughness, certainly his ability to defend the ball and play a role on that team, it made perfect sense for the Timberwolves. And I think, Memphis in making that trade with the Clippers, all three players who came in, you may see none of them opening night in Memphis. Certainly, Beverly is out now. Rajon Rondo, Daniel Okoro, they have a very good young roster in Memphis. Really not any room and maybe not fits here. But I think certainly for Minnesota, the idea of Beverly really resonated with Rosas, with Chris Finch, and he goes in there, and he's going to play an important role for that team as they try to move closer to getting perhaps in contention for the play-in tournament.
Absolutely, and Patrick Beverley is such a culture cornerstone, and you've been everywhere this week, Woj. You reported on the Celtics extending Marcus Smart last night. What made the Celtics decide to commit to Smart long-term?
listen, he's such an integral part of that team. And, you know, certainly Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown are the two all-stars on that team. But Marcus Smart has been really the heart and soul of that organization, coming off perhaps his best season last year. And a deal now that locks him in, no player option. So he's under contract for the next 5 years. Robert Williams, the Celtics young center, he's another player on deck. He's up for his rookie extension. Boston would like to get that done also this summer. And, well, listen, they're not going to have cap space next season, next summer. You look around and you go, who are they getting it for? It's really turning out to already be probably a very weak free agent class. And so I think for Boston to get their key players locked up, you know, and continue to try to build now around, you know, certainly their two all-stars, but then Marcus Smart, you know, who plays such an important role for that team. They were able to offer him that $77 million. It was a max raise with a year left on his contract. He got the full $77 million, and now Marcus Smart continues in Boston, and I think this is a team that, you know, is still going to be very formidable in the East next season.
It's certainly going to be interesting to see how the East shakes out. Woj, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to spend some time with us. Appreciate you. Now joining me to talk more about the big Nets and Lakers matchup on Christmas Day is our NBA champ, Richard Jefferson, and NBA insider Dave McMiniman. And I want to start with you, Dave. You're around the Lakers daily. What intrigues you most about this matchup?
Well, think back to the two times the Lakers and Nets played each other last year. Mm-hmm. February. There's no Durant and no Anthony Davis on the court. April, Richard, I will wear yoga pants similar to you're wearing today. If you can name me three leading scorers for the Lakers in that game.
The three leading scorers for the Lakers in what
game? They played the Nets in April. You might have even covered the game.
It's zero chance. Let's see. Kyle Kuzma. Alex Caruso.
Yeah, I'll stop you there. You're along the right lines, though. Mm. Andre Drummond, no longer a Laker. Mm. Dennis Schroeder, no longer a Laker.
Drummond was a Laker?
And Ben McLemore, no longer a Laker. So in that game, no LeBron, no AD, no Harden. So the fact that we can actually see what these teams are supposed to look like with the sprinkled in new pieces in a Patty Mills, with Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, obviously, to me, is that's the reason you tune in. You get to see what these teams actually look like.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be exciting. Those are one of the games. Every time you look at the Christmas Day schedule, it's always one, maybe two games that you really look forward to. And I think this is the game that people were probably looking forward to last year. And even like, oh, okay, well, these will be the teams that we'll see in the postseason. It'll be Nets, possibly Lakers. And so I think now to get both teams in a position, and I think the key thing is, are they all going to be healthy at that time? That's going to be the most important thing. But it's going to be fun. When you get the best players, when you get the best teams on Christmas Day, that's just a basketball player's dream, and it's a basketball fan's dream, so I'm excited to watch.
Well, this is certainly one of the games you're going to be taking a break from, eating your pancakes if you're a really, really late riser, if you're having breakfast for dinner. This is going to be one of the games you're going to tune into because, in part, of some of those big three parts that they have. So, Richard, how would you assess that Nets big three versus the Lakers big three that they've now put together?
Well, again, it's so difficult to really talk about both teams. I think the Lakers team, I think Russell Westbrook helps them in the 82. Mm. And those 82 games, we know that Russell is a monster. And it's going to come down to how well they can mesh over the 16. And that's the journey to win a championship. With the Brooklyn Nets, I think they mesh perfectly. And I think when you add guys like Patty Mills to that bench, you re-sign Blake Griffin, you bring back Bruce Brown, I think their bench is filling out extremely nicely. Now, when you look at the Nets, I know they added Monk. Or when you're talking about the Lakers, you added Monk, you added some other guys, but I think the biggest question, one, I think is going to be health for the Brooklyn Nets, and with the Lakers, I think is going to be three-point shooting in the postseason, not necessarily over the course of the regular season.
And Frank Vogel said this is going to be a fast-breaking group next year with LeBron and Russell, and that sounds great because both those guys in open court are incredible, and they're the two last assist leaders that the NBA has, but in order to do that, you got to get steals and deflections and defensive rebounds. You sent out your two best perimeter defenders in Alex Caruso and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Who's going to fill those spots in order to allow LeBron and Russell Westbrook to play that style? And that, to me, is the biggest question for the Lakers.
Well, really quickly, the one thing I will say to add to your point is kind of Bron, maybe not as much, but Russell Westbrook, they're both still one-man fast breaks.
Yes.
So now you have two of them that can be passing it off, dropping, because you know they can pass, you know they can run.
Right.
Right, but it... the offense starts with a stop. So you got to get the stop first. You're not going to inbound under the basket and have a fast break. It doesn't work that way.
Oh, we're already at the point of the show where Richard's making that face. So we know, Richard, right, that when the Nets played together, when their big three played together, they didn't get that much time together. But when they did, they were 11-3 in the postseason combined with the regular season. There were some questions about fit early on, right? And then Kyrie Irving did that famous line of, all right, I'll be the two, James Harden, you be the one, and boom, fit, we're off and running. They're hoping to stay healthy. So we heard you mention the word championship. You're already starting to talk about this a little. Is this matchup a championship preview?
Well, if both teams are healthy 100%, that's the only thing that can stop these teams. And you look at it. What happened with the Lakers? LeBron goes into the postseason, not 100%. Anthony Davis gets hurt in the postseason. Then you go and you look at Kyrie Irving gets hurt in the postseason, and James Harden goes out there and tries his best with one leg, and they still almost beat the champion. So to me, if teams are healthy, and that's what we all base our expectations and projections on, there's no team in either conference that can stop either team, but that doesn't mean that those are going to be the teams that get through. But yeah,
I agree there. I think Brooklyn, because they had last year to coalesce, and as you mentioned, Malika, 11-3 when the big three played together, they have the leg up. They should be the Eastern Conference representative. I think there's more questions on the Lakers just because there's so many new pieces. Only four guys from last year's Laker on this year's team, so they got a lot of time that they need to catch up. To look like a team that can play for a championship.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. But when we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets, we're talking about health. And Sean Marks, just a couple of weeks ago, he was asked about, okay, what is the status of these big three? What is the status of their health? After Kevin Durant played in the Olympics and exerted that extra stress on his body, he said, you know what? He's doing great. He looks great. He's Kevin Durant. When asked about Kyrie Irving, he said, you know, this was a really serious ankle sprain. It took him a little bit of time to feel right after that. He was still sort of working through the prolonged effect to get stronger for the next season. And James Harden, who was the league's Iron Man, right, up until kind of last season, that was the first season that we saw this sort of mortality from him. He said he is working incredibly hard to make sure that doesn't become the case again. So they are expecting, especially given what happened last season, to have that full slate, that full strength, because they know the sentiment around the team. I asked Blake Griffin about this. He said the sentiment around the team is we feel like we left something out on the table. We had unfinished business. That's what he said. But I think the Lakers feel like they might have a little bit of unfinished business, too. So we'll see who gets to actually finish that business. But coming up in just 2 minutes, the Bucks host the Nets on opening night. Can the defending champs make a statement right out of the gate? We'll be right back. Here's TNT's opening week slate. The Bucks open the season at home, hosting the Nets on ring night. That will be followed by Lakers-Warriors. Then 2 nights later, it's the Mavericks-Hawks and Clippers-Warriors. As for the defending champion Bucks, Richard, they went through the Nets on their path to the title. Can they make a statement on opening night against Brooklyn?
I don't think you can really, truly make a statement on opening night, but I will say this. When you are a champion, you have far more confidence. We were better in 17 than we were in 16. The Warriors were better in 16 than they were in 15. So I think the Bucks, even though there's a lot of, like, you know, people were hurt, they're going to be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, Fossil Forum, it brings it.
Yeah.
It was rocking during the NBA Finals. Those fans were waiting 50 years to see a championship banner.
And the snow won't hit yet. The snow won't be hit, yeah, so we still might have, you know, the deer dish.
Yeah, we still. But Giannis had 50 in a title game. He might have something to say about a statement.
50 piece, not 49, not 50, 51.
Exactly.
50.
Welcome back to The Jump. It is time to run it back. We now know what the ESPN slate of games will be for opening week. Wednesday, October 20th, the Celtics at the Knicks. Boston's former backcourt of Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier will tip off the season with the rival Knicks. And the same night, we've got the Nuggets in Phoenix for a rematch of the Western Conference semis. The MVP will be looking for revenge after losing to the Suns in four. Then on Friday, October 22nd, it's Brooklyn, the odds favorite in titles in Philly. These teams had the two best records in the East last season. And later that night, the Suns at Lakers, a rematch of the first round of last season. The Lakers revamped their roster, and they'll be hoping to reassert their dominance in the West. And now I'd like to welcome in NBA reporter Tim Bontemps joining us from New York, my current home state. Tim, the big story of the day was Joel Embiid locking in a four-year, $196 million Supermax extension reported by our colleague and friend Ramona Shelburne. What are the next steps for Ben Simmons after this Joel Embiid move?
Well, Malika, like you said, this is a big day for the Philadelphia 76ers because they locked up Joel Embiid. And anytime you get one of the 10 best players in the league to lock up with your franchise through the better part of this decade, that's a great day for your team. But it doesn't change the overall situation in Philadelphia and around this franchise right now, which is what is going to happen with Ben Simmons. And really, that has not changed since the moment that Ben Simmons whiffed on that dunk with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of Game 7 against the Atlanta Hawks in the second round of the playoffs. Now, right now, it seems like Philadelphia is in a bit of a holding pattern, waiting to see what happens with Damian Lillard, a guy who would obviously be a pretty intriguing fit with Joel Embiid in Philadelphia. But as of now, Dame Lillard isn't available, and so the Sixers are going to just stay in this holding pattern, I think, and wait and see what happens. Because if we know anything about Daryl Morey, we know that in a situation like this, he's not going to be afraid to have an uncomfortable situation, and he's not going to trade Ben Simmons for less than what he thinks he's worth. And by every account, what he's asking for in talks about Ben Simmons is a lot. So I think this situation is going to stay the way it is for now, and probably have a good chance of going into the regular season to see how this shakes out and wait to see what happens with Dame Lillard out in the West Coast.
Stay the way it is for now. Certainly, maybe some people interpreted those comments that Joel Embiid made after they were eliminated as a little bit of a shot that could lead to that uncomfortable situation that you were just alluding to. But we just found out that the 76ers will host the Nets to start the season. How big of a gap do you think there is between Philly and Brooklyn right now?
I think pretty sizable in Malika, and it's for the reasons that Dave and RJ said before. If you look at the way the East is shaped out right now, you've got the Milwaukee Bucks, who are coming off winning the title. Obviously, that gives you a real confidence boost as defending champions, as Richard said. And then as Dave said, if you talk to people around the league, I'm sure you do as well, everybody thinks the Brooklyn Nets should go into the season as the clear favorites to win the title if they're healthy. So if you look at it that way, and then you look at what Miami did in the offseason, adding Kyle Lowry, adding PJ Tucker, having like the definitional Miami Heat grit and grind tough team coming into the season, I think the Sixers right now, to me, are a clear fourth right down there with the Atlanta Hawks, who they obviously had that big series with in the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Yeah, wow, it's going to be interesting to see. I'm excited to see the way that the East is going to continue to move, to shake out. You mentioned health. That seems to be such a reoccurring theme, especially for the Brooklyn Nets. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. And I'll bring things back to studio now. I'm here with Richard Jefferson, Dave McMiniman. You heard what Tim said. I just want to get your thoughts now. Richard, give me your initial reaction to Joel Embiid signing the Supermax extension.
Well, look, I think Tim said it best when you're talking about when you lock up a top 10 player, everything else is like, okay, we're good. We're good. It's very similar to when Kevin Durant signed the extension before James Harden and before Kyrie Irving. You're like, okay, we got KD. We're good. We're going to figure this out. Whatever else happens next. And so I think for Philly fans, there's still an elephant in the room. This is the number one thing, and this shows a commitment to Joel Embiid, I think, that everyone knows, and this also showed Joel's commitment to the 76ers. So, to me, it's more about what's next and what are going to be the next dominoes to fall. For the Nets, it's signing the other two. For Philly, it's maybe getting rid of one.
Is that elephant left-handed?
We don't know. We don't truly know.
I covered the Sixers in the playoffs, and Joel Embiid was dominant, even though he had a partially torn right knee, meniscus in his right knee. He put up 28, 10, and 4 assists, shot 51% from the field, 39% from three. There's times when you watch him play and you're like, he's the best player in all of basketball.
In all of basketball,
top 10.
Yeah.
Because he can do it on both ends if his body will allow him to. So I'm sure there is just a smidge of trepidation with the Sixers organization because you know his injury history, but you got to lock him up. And listen, the photos we saw on social media of him signing the contract, he looks slim. Like, I don't know if he's continued the offseason regimen that he had last year coming into this season when he looked really good and strong until that knee injury. But right now, he looks really good.
I don't know. I don't know what you just dropped. It's fine. But my thing is this, though. When you look at a guy like Embiid, and this is, we all talk about health and we hope for health. But realistically, with the amount that you're doing and the amount that you're playing, they probably have a 3 to 5 year window where, like, you can believe that he's healthy. If he does get hurt, he can recover. So I think this is a 3 to 5 year stretch that you have, that you have to maximize having one of the top 5 to 7 players in the league, possibly the best player in the league. So I think the 76ers are on the clock quicker than I think people think.
Well, and we've seen Joel Embiid recommit, right, to his health, to his family. He said, he told our Ramona Shelburne again, that having a child kind of that recentered him, refocused him. He sort of figured out how he wants to approach the game. And we've seen that focus. He was so disappointed. You know, he had said his goal was how the plane was going to land. He wanted to land healthy in the playoffs, and then he wasn't able to deliver on that. So we've seen that, but you've said the elephant in the room, Ben Simmons. What kind of impact does this have, Richard?
Well, I think the impact is more of, like, you have a guy that does have a bit of a history of an injury, and you have another all-NBA player, all-star guy in Ben Simmons that they're looking to move on from. You can't just bring back pieces. You got to get an all-star. You got to get a guy that can continue the journey of, like, okay, maybe we're not a championship team, but maybe we're just missing a piece. You can't bring back a couple of players and some picks for Ben Simmons. You got to get a star.
Wait, last year they made the Richardson trade, Josh Richardson. They got Seth Curry, who had a fantastic postseason. Yeah. Danny Green actually was playing really well in the first round. Then he had that calf injury that basically made him miss the whole Hawks series, and they re-signed him. So theoretically you have him for the long haul, and that's the guy who's won championships with multiple franchises. But it comes down to a reliable second star that he can play alongside. Yeah. They had him in Jimmy Butler a couple years ago. He's down in Miami now. You got to figure it out, and it's got to be Ben Simmons to be the trade piece to do it.
He's down in Miami. He's living life, living large. But Joel Embiid did tweet, "There's no place like Philadelphia. Excited to continue working towards bringing a title home and eventually retire. Hashtag Philly."
I see the Philly boys. Did he tag Ben?
He tagged you, actually, instead. But coming up, we have Knicks star Julius Randle joining the show. He's fresh off a career season and a hefty contract extension. We'll ask him about his new teammates in New York after this. WNBA action on Saturday. Diana Taurasi and the Mercury are in Atlanta to take on Courtney Williams in the Dream. Coverage starts at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. Welcome back to The Jump. Knicks All-Star Julius Randle just received a $117 million extension, and he joins us now. Thank you so much for being here, Julius.
No problem. Appreciate you having me.
But Julius, after not only finishing top 10 in MVP voting and being the NBA's most improved player last season, how does the most improved player still find ways to improve in the offseason?
There's a lot that I can improve on, to become a better player, to help my team win more games. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I love the process. I love the grind every day. So I'm enjoying it right now. And looking forward to just coming back a completely better player and, just helping my team.
Well, speaking of the process, you spent some time in L.A., in New Orleans, but what was it like playing in front of that MSG crowd in New York during the playoffs?
Absolutely insane. It was crazy. it was tons of energy. I've been fortunate enough to be a part of a lot of, crazy games, playing in a national championship in my hometown, Cowboys Stadium, playing in Kobe's last game. But I would definitely say the intensity and the energy of the Knicks fans in Madison Square was definitely the most I've experienced. So it was fun.
Even walking around outside, for me, it was just insane. So I can only imagine on Christmas Day how insane it's going to be. And speaking of, earlier in the show, we released the Christmas Day schedule, and you all will be going against last year's opponents in the playoffs, in the Hawks. How are you viewing that game, both playing on Christmas for the fourth time in your career and facing that specific team?
Anytime you get a Christmas Day game, it's always an honor. Mm. Those are the games that you want to be a part of. Those are definitely the games that the NBA highlights. So the fact that you get a Christmas Day game, it's a huge honor. Being the fact that it's Atlanta, for me, it's another game. It's all a part of the process of our season and what we want to build to be where we want to be at the end of the season. So. Everything is game by game. Obviously, there's a lot of anticipation and all that type of stuff because of, the first round series. But I'm just looking forward to being able to have that experience of playing in Christmas in front of my family and friends. So it'll be cool.
I think maybe for you it's just another game, but for you and I think we both know that fans, they're going to get up for that game. But you all, the Knicks, have been very active these past 2 weeks, not only extending you, but bringing back Derrick Rose, Nerlens Noel, Alec Burks, Taj Gibson, as well as adding Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier. What excites you most about New York's offseason?
We brought back some key guys, but, you know, Leon and Wes and Scott and those guys did a great job of just making us even a more versatile team, putting more shooting on the floor and guys that, you know, can create and get their own shots as well. So I'm just excited. Seems like these guys, just talking with them, playing against them, they'll fit into our culture and what we're about really well. So that's obviously a plus, but I just think it's going to make us a lot more dynamic.
Dynamic, but holistically, do you feel like you guys took a step forward as a team?
Absolutely. But we got a lot of work to do. And, I don't want to judge anything until we get on the court. But like I said, we got a lot of work to do. And I have all the faith and confidence in Tim. So I know he's going to put us all in the best positions on the floor and bring out the best of us as a team. So we'll be fine.
I don't think your new teammates want to judge anything before they get out there, but during Kemba and Evan's introductory press conference this morning, Kemba was asked about how he fit with you and the Knicks, and take a listen to his response.
Just what you think the offense will play like with both of you on the court.
It's going to be fine. Me and Evan, we are two very, very unselfish guys. We're just going to get the ball moving, find the right shot, play some defense, try to get some stops. I think we're going to gel super well. I'm super easy to get along with. So is Ev. So it's going to be fun.
Gel super well. What do you think? You buying Kemba's pitch?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with him. I think that was the important thing about our team last year is everybody was unselfish. At the end of the day, all that mattered on our team was winning. And just that mentality right there says it all. It's about the team. And those guys obviously are great players and they're going to bring a lot to the table for our team. But at the end of the day, everything's about winning. And I feel like, that's their mindset. So it's going to be amazing.
Well, and it's been a process for you to get to that point where now it's all about the winning. Just over 3 years ago, you were a Laker with Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Alex Caruso. What's it like for you seeing all of those guys shine in New Orleans and now Chicago for Lonzo and Alex, who just signed new deals? It's like a little glow up for you guys.
Yeah, it's amazing. Everybody is, thriving in their own roles. It's a part of the NBA. Everything's a process. Everything's a journey. And just to see, all those guys take a step forward, even if it's not, what LA is amazing to see. So, we were all a part of a little, young core. We've grown up a little bit. And I'm just excited to see what the future holds for all of us.
Thriving, but I imagine as soon as you get between those lines, that's when it's like, all right, now I don't want you to thrive quite as much. Now this is where we got to go at it. Julius, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate the time. Coming up in 2 minutes, only 10 teams play on Christmas, which means some stars will be spending December 25th at home. Who needs to provide a little extra to Santa to get back on the NBA's marquee day? Stay tuned.
Welcome to the MGM Resorts NBA Summer League 2021.
Success is anything that you strive for. You put in the grind, then you grind more.
Wait a minute! Kuminga, stop playing!
Looking at the shot clock at one for the win! Taking ankles.
I told you about it, Mark.
From behind the backboard.
Angels in the outfield type of plays.
KJ Martin.
You want it, don't wait your turn. None of this is given. Everything is earned.
Yes. Oh my goodness! Yeah. Jericho Sims caught a body.
What's wrong with you leaving me open?
This is absolutely insane.
Cunningham with a little bit of anticipation. Payton! Oh! Hello, Las Vegas! Put it on his head!
Keep the naysayers. Speak success into existence.
So so many great moments from Summer League. Roz Gouldon-Woude, my New York Oakland sister, is in balmy 100 degree Vegas now and joins me on The Jump. Roz, which players have stood out to you most in Vegas?
Hey, sis. What's up, Malika? Hey. So nice to work with you today. You know what? For me, it's going to be number two draft pick, Jalen Green of the Rockets, who's actually out now. He tweaked his hamstring. Rockets don't think this is anything serious. But before he got hurt, he really put together a strong display of his scoring ability at all ranges that he can with his step back, create that separation, and change speeds. I had the chance to speak with Rockets GM Rafael Stone, and I said, hey, not only do you have a talent, you got a player with a lot of charisma. He has a huge social media following. Is he ready to be the face of your franchise? And Rafael Stone really pushed back on that. The Rockets are not trying to force anoint Green here. Instead, what they want to do is allow it to be a natural and organic growth to that moment if and when it happens. And he told me he doesn't want to tell him to be the face of the franchise. Rather, they want to support him. And he felt they have enough talent around him to help him carry the load. Rafael Stone also pointed out to me that in evaluating Jalen Green's game, he had a lot of confidence that it would translate because of his experience on the G League Ignite, which he felt was an advantage over college. Because he got to watch Jalen play at pace, try to create separation against pro teams, against pro guards, and that gave him the confidence that, yes, this player would translate.
Yeah, and he's special. We won't see him tonight, but certainly can look forward to seeing him in the season. But the Summer League title game is tonight, Kings versus Celtics. What's the big storyline that you're going to tell people to look out for, that you're going to be looking out for in this game?
Well, I've got my eye on the story coming out of the Celtics, and Peyton Pritchard, second-year player for the Celtics, has been terrific. I mean, in Summer League, he's been averaging 20 points, almost 9 assists a game, and he's helped lead the Celtics to an undefeated start here. And that itself was a great story. But then he left Vegas to go to Oregon and play in the Portland Pro-Am. And in back-to-back games, he then went on and dropped 92 points. And then 60 points. So now everybody, NBA Twitter, we're buzzing, right? But some people were wondering, is he going to make it back to Summer League for the championship game? So then Peyton tweets. He said, I'll be back in Vegas on Tuesday for the Summer League championship.
Boom.
And now the legend is growing. And it was actually funny. The Celtics coaching staff had to walk it all back. And basically they said, you know, we're going to discuss as a staff and see if it makes sense to have him on the court, because obviously they don't want any unnecessary injury.
Yeah.
So that's what the story people are following. You know, Peyton Pritchard did not join the team to practice on Monday, but it's still a decision that's up in the air and being considered if he's going to rejoin the team on the court tonight in Vegas and potentially have a chance to lead this team to a Summer League championship. That would be a pretty legendary week and a half of hoops.
Absolutely, and without a doubt, you know, knowing NBA players and their makeup, there's no doubt that at least he wants to be out there. Roz, thank you so much for joining us. We'll all be watching tonight.
Thanks, Malika.
This afternoon, we have the final slate of Summer League games. Mavs and Heat tip off on ESPNU, then Rockets, Blazers, and Lakers, Warriors are on ESPN News. And finally, the championship game between the Kings and Celtics at 9 Eastern. Whew, I gotta get some coffee. It's on the ESPN and on the app. And now, I am joined by ESPN's Tim McMahon, the NBA's Christmas slate. Let's get back to that. It dropped today. The Mavericks will close out a packed night against the Utah Jazz. What do you expect to see from this game?
Yeah, all due respect to Rudy Gobert, there's two reasons for this matchup. That's Luka Doncic and Donovan Mitchell, two of the most entertaining young stars in the game.
Absolutely.
Two guys who, you know, I mean, these are guys who individually they've accomplished a lot, postseason included, but I would argue the two best players who haven't made deep playoff runs. But these are guys who, you know, Luka in particular has established himself as what I call a Christmas Day player, one of the marquee faces of the league without question.
Well, and we could see them be playing deeper into the season as those young faces of the league. But as for the opening week of games, we now know that the Mavericks and the Hawks will face off in their season openers. What's the excitement going to be like for that Luka versus Trey?
Yeah, I really think the conversation around that has changed because of Trey Young's success. He is a guy who led his team to the conference finals. And so, you know, the Hawks, not that they ever were apologizing for that draft night deal, but certainly they have no reason to. And now nobody's looking at Trae Young as, ooh, that's the guy the Hawks took instead of Luka Doncic. Mm. You know, they are peers. And, you know, Trae Young, he's another guy who he proved himself during the playoffs. He's a guy who's going to be, a young talent who's going to be on the league's biggest stages for years to come. And Malik, I'm sure you can relate to that.
Okay. Well, I'll send you the $20 I was supposed to send you in the mail. I really appreciate that. See, I'm already getting crap. You set me up for crap from Richard. This is a lot, Tim. But I appreciate you joining us. I know we're going to see a little, like, burr from you after you've been covering that game. But I'm going to bring that same question back into the studio. I'm going to skip Richard for now. But I'm here with Richard Jefferson and Dave McMiniman. And Richard, I guess I can still talk to you after that. Trae Young and Luka Doncic comparisons, are they ever going to go away?
I was waiting for the highlights to go away. No, I don't think they're ever going to go away. But ultimately, that's just a fabrication of something that allows us to talk about something, like how we talk about the 03 draft, and you have Bron, sure, and D Wade and Carmelo,
right,
Chris Bosh.
Right.
Like, you're always going to talk about draft classes and where they rank, but I think you want to go back to the, you know, they talk about Michael Jordan being drafted third and what Portland did. They never talk about the number one pick. They never talk about Hakeem Olajuwon. There was never a mistake there. No, I'm just saying there wasn't a mistake with number one. It was more of that 2-3. And I think the same thing is happening with Luka and Trey, where you're not focused so much on, like, what was traded or blah, blah. You're like, no, there were two great players in that draft in those slots, and both teams got them.
And it teaches us something about patience, because it did look like during the regular season last year even that it's Luka and then there's Trey. But then Trey had his star term in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He comes to New York City, comes to Madison Square Garden, the best arena in the world, and has those moments. And he takes a bow, as Malika alluded to earlier in the show. And then Philly, he comes back from down in that series. They didn't really have a prayer to win it, and they have a 26-point comeback. And they have a 17-point comeback, both in the second half and because of Trae Young.
And don't forget this. There was also a player that was picked number one over all of them, and that was DeAndre Ayton. And DeAndre Ayton goes and has an amazing playoff performance. He's been getting better every single year. And now you're looking at the Phoenix Suns are like, look, Luka's great, but we're okay with what we have right now. So you can't always worry about what's on that other side. You work with what you got, you stick with your decision, and you develop your players. And I think all three teams have done that extremely well.
Well, and Trae Young told me that one of the texts he values most that he got during that postseason run, it was from Devin Booker. And so it's these young guys that it's not necessarily always bad to have those markers. These guys are competitive. They want to push each other in those conversations.
Until they pair up with each other in 6 years and championships, and then everyone's mad. Were they friends? Like, what's going
on? What happened? We were getting all these texts. Yeah, we thought the texts were cute back in the day, and now look, they're a super team. Well, Dave, thank you so much for hanging with us. We still have more to come. Richard and I will be back after the break. We've got another primetime Christmas matchup. Unfortunately, Richard, yes, you are still here. Warriors and Suns, who has the edge in this matchup? The Western Conference champs or a Warriors roster with Clay back in action?
Let's go. I miss my guy, Clay.
Welcome back to The Jump. We now welcome in ESPN NBA reporter Nick Friedell, who's also one of my favorite Oakland, San Francisco transplants. And Nick, the Warriors and Suns, they are squaring off on Christmas Day. This will be Golden State's ninth straight Christmas Day game. And as for the Suns, they haven't played on December 25th since 2009. It's early to speculate, but we're going to do it anyway. So if both teams are healthy, who do you like in this one, Nick?
Give me Steph, Clay, and Draymond. And Malika, that's hopeful that Clay will be ready to roll at that point in time.
Yeah.
The Warriors are liking the way he's looking in his rehab, but they're going to be very cautious. But if he's back and you get Steph and Draymond on that big stage in Christmas, we saw what happened when they were terrible a couple years ago. They beat the Rockets on Christmas Day against the Phoenix team and Chris Paul that the Warriors have plenty of history against. I'm taking Golden State.
I'm taking Golden State too. Look at it. Look, you got Chris Paul versus Steph Curry. Who you taking? Right? All due respect to Devin Booker, who's one of the young stars in this league.
Absolutely.
We're talking about Klay Thompson. Right? So, and I know Klay Thompson isn't like them, but like, we're talking about Klay Thompson now, right? Like, people must not have forgotten or must have forgotten. Like, this is one of the baddest men that have ever shot a basketball in the history of the game.
And
And he does it with this look on his face like you aren't even going to know it.
Look, he doesn't know it. He's just out there playing. And that's why he is such an awesome teammate, such an awesome person. So when you're breaking down the teams and you're looking at the matchups, they all favor Golden State if we're talking about health. Again, if DeAndre Ayton can continue growing and continue like dominating and being the individual that he is, that could be the thing that changes the matchups, because that would be a load even for Draymond.
Yeah, absolutely. But we also know that Devin Booker, Chris Paul, they're coming off a little bit of a bad taste in their mouth. When they're on big stages, they know they want to step up. They have something that they want to prove after what happened last season. But let's revisit the primetime matchup between the Nets and the Lakers. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. I'm running out of breath. It could be the first time since 2016. Get this, 2016, that KD, Harden, and Russ were a part of the same regular season game. Richard, what are you expecting? Is it a playoff type of atmosphere? Even if the players maybe won't admit to that.
It's a huge, like, I'll go back to the 2017 when it was, you know, defending Cavs versus Warriors. They just got Kevin Durant. That people still call it one of the best Christmas Day games that they've ever seen. The energy in that building, there is an anticipation that you only get when everyone's healthy and the whole country and a lot of the world is watching. Oh, wow.
Can you still do that?
Yes, I can
still
do it.
Don't lie to
me. But it's like an 8-foot hoop. I do it against my little light-skinned kids all the time. Right? Like,
they still make you feel good.
Yeah, 100%. It's like my kid looks like Klay Thompson. So it's like, yeah, I dunk on him all the time. Lil Richard, sorry.
I want to see KD in this moment on the stage again. He always has the ability to raise his level no matter who he's playing against. And when he's with Harden and potentially against Russ again, you know he'll be ready to roll. That is a guy who always steps up when needed, and he'll be there on Christmas to dominate.
This will be the first time that I think Kevin Durant goes into one of these situations outside, like when he was with the Warriors, but like where it's like he's going up against Bron. And, you know, all the guys, and he's got the much better team.
Yeah.
And when he's got the better team, you see a great version of Kevin Durant a la Warriors, and it's going to be next level.
Absolutely. Nets level.
Nets level.
It's going to be Nets level. I mean, we're going to see some interesting, big games, big players, they get up for big games. Kevin Durant, we know he takes these matchups. He takes so much pride in it. He proved so many people wrong in his comeback already. Thanks to Richard,
you got 10 seconds.
And all of our guests today.
Good job.
The jump returns tomorrow.
Yay. Yay. She got through it. She did it. Yes.